beautiful, wasn't it? Just nice music. I enjoyed that. Good. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 in your Bible tonight. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read two sets of verses, verses 12 through 14, and then verses 20 through 22. So if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 11, and two sets of verses here, and verses 12 through 14, and then 20 through 22. All right? And thanks to all of you who are participating in this year's of the year of singing special music for offertories, and especially appreciate the good music we've had in the last month or two. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Would you please join me? And we read here verses 12 through 14. Join me on verse 13. Now the Bible picks up the story in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now let's drop down to verse 20. Would you please join me on verse 21? And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will please bless the message tonight to our hearts. Help us to listen carefully, have an open heart, open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things from this passage that might teach us and encourage us, help us and bless us. God, we'll be careful to thank you for it. We love you. Thank you, God, for what you did in the service this morning. Now build us again tonight, little by little, measure by measure, as we get into the Bible. Help us, I pray, in a special way, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I will sing, sing a
blessing. Now, four students in the room tonight will be at college next week. Am I right? Matt and Leah. And then who else stood up this morning? Caleb, Jamie, Becker, you gone next Sunday? All right, so there's five that will be gone next Sunday as we start to send some of these young people off to college. More will follow after they leave over the next several weeks. And as I said this morning, it's a bittersweet time. I'm glad they go on to pursue the Lord's will for their life, but it's not fun to look out and see empty holes where they used to sit, I'll tell you that much. And so, but you wish them God's blessing, and we're glad for these. Some are going away for the first time. Some families sending their first one away to college. That's never easy, although you're excited for your children to go on and pursue God's will. That empty seat at the table is no fun. And so you think about those families that will be doing that in the next several weeks. All right? I want you to look at verse 22. We're going to look at this passage tonight. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, I want to speak tonight on this subject, power in prayer. Power in prayer. It's been on my heart the last two or three weeks. I want to say a few things about it tonight, hopefully for the help of our folks, all of us in this room. Power in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. I guess one of the greatest blessings that we have is this book that you've given us, your word. Powerful, quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. A living Bible. Thank you for it. What change it has wrought in us. What work you have done in us through it. I pray that you will do the more tonight. And God, just bless it in our lives. And help me as the delivery man. That's all I want to be, God, is the conduit, the pipeline through which you give us a message that hopefully will help us and build us and encourage your people. Help me, Lord Jesus. I pray and ask it in your name. And amen. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And then 1 John 5, 7 says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, I read these two verses tonight to remind us that when we got saved, the person of God moved into our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7 tells us that the Father, the Son, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are one. So that means God moved in our bodies. With His person comes His attributes. And one of those attributes is His power. God is power. Now God is holy. And God is love, and God is merciful, and God is grace, and God is truth, and God is light, and God is life. All of these attributes make up our God. But He is also power, okay? Power. The power of God in the person of the Spirit of God lives in the child of God. Now, it is that power, and this is convicting. When I point a finger at you tonight, I'm pointing three back at myself. It is that power that should characterize our prayer life. And I'm afraid that most of us, or many of us, live in a brownout or even a blackout condition concerning power in prayer. Now, we know a little bit about brownouts and blackouts here at Faith Baptist Church. The past two Wednesday nights, we've had a little bit of both, okay? Two Wednesday nights ago, we had no power for a while in the afternoon. Brother Caleb called about 5:30. I was on my way here and said, the power's out. And then about 6:20 it came on, but it came on partially. And then it got brighter about 10 till 7, and it was a mess, and the air conditioning units didn't work, and so Tim Booth preached with no air conditioning. But we had a great service, or it did. And then this past Wednesday night, right toward the end of the message, the power went out. Everything went out. Went black as midnight, middle of the night here in the auditorium. And so, we know a little bit about brownouts and blackouts. We can handle those when it comes to the power that lights the building and so forth. But friend, I don't want to live in a brownout or a blackout condition concerning my prayer life when I have the power of Almighty God living in my body. Man, I need answers to prayer. Now, there is a great statement in this passage of Scripture that came from the lips of Jesus Christ. He said, in verse 22, have faith in God. By the way, this message tonight, I hope will help the adults, but it may be more important for the teenagers and the young people of this church to get this down tonight than it is the adults. Maybe more important. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And the faith that is in this context has to do with power or authority in prayer. That's what it has to do with. Now, I will not go into the why of this message tonight. I'll not go into why I began to think about it and why I believe God put it on my heart, other than to say this. I believe the day is coming when God's people will need, have to, get answers to prayer. I wonder sometimes in America if we haven't been so materially blessed that it's kind of dumbed us down in this area of having God answer our prayers. We don't need God, we got an employer. We don't need God, we got a 401k. We don't need God, we got Social Security. We don't need God, we got Medicare. We don't need God, we got a government that's handing out everything to everybody. That's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's difficult enough when you've got church with people who need jobs. I'm talking about young men in this church need jobs. Some men in this church could improve their situation and need to. And everybody's kind of living, you know, a little bit on the edge maybe about all this economic stuff here in America and the world. And, you know, it's tough enough. If I got up and said what I think is coming down the pike, it'd make everybody blue. It makes me blue. That's why I don't think about it. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I am convinced that what we're going to talk about tonight, all of us are going to need. And maybe especially our young people. Have faith in God. It is time for us to remember that every good gift and every perfect gift does not come from the United States government. And every good gift and every perfect gift does not come from our 401k. And every good gift and every perfect gift does not come from our pension. And every good gift and every perfect gift does not come from Social Security. And every good gift and every perfect gift doesn't even come from the greenbacks that you may have in a bank account somewhere. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And brother, when we need a miracle, be it now or 5 years from now or 5 months from now, when we need a miracle, our God has the ability to come through. And because His Spirit lives in us and the Spirit and the Son and the Father are one, the power of God lives in you and me, and there is power, or there should be power, in our prayer life. Now, the scene begins here in verse number 12. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and then He spent the night in Bethany. And then He and the disciples were on the way back into Jerusalem in the morning, headed back into Jerusalem from Bethany, which was just a couple miles away from Jerusalem, okay? Just a couple miles away. And you can walk 2 miles. Many people in this church run and exercise 2 miles. And so Jesus and the disciples were walking 2 miles. That's not unheard of. And so as they were walking in verse number 12, He sees this fig tree. He's hungry. I love that song. What does it say? You know, he was on his mother's side. He was, is that the song I'm thinking about? On his mother's side, he was man. But on his father's side, He was God. And you see His mother's side. No, that's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, that's right. And you see, you know what? Let me move on here. Anyway, Jesus got hungry, and I'm glad He did. Amen. And He saw a fig tree. Have you ever had a ripe fig? Anybody in this church ever had a ripe fig? You know, figs are incredibly healthy for you. We had 2 fig trees in our backyard in Georgia, 2 of them. There's nothing more delicious going out there and plucking a ripe fig off of that tree and eating that fig just ripe off the tree. I'm telling you, it's outstanding. And fig trees were indigenous to this area of the world where Jesus lived and was so forth in Palestine. So he's on his way in, and he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree ways away, and it has leaves on it. Now, I didn't get all the complete study that I wanted to do on that situation right there. One thing I read said that a fig tree a lot of times will begin to put fruit on as it puts leaves on. So, if he saw the fig tree was full of leaves, should have been full of fruit. And he went over there, and it says the time of figs was not yet. I think that means the time of the gathering of figs or the harvesting of figs was not yet. So the tree was supposed to have figs on it. They hadn't come by and harvested them. And so Jesus went up, and he wanted something to eat, and there was no figs on the tree, and Jesus cursed the tree. He didn't curse it with foul language. He pronounced a curse upon it. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The Bible says his disciples heard that. Now they entered, they continued into Jerusalem, and they again spent the day there. Then they went outside to Bethany again, outside the city. And now in verse number 20, "And in the morning." So they're coming back into Jerusalem from Bethany, another night spent in Bethany. And coming back into Jerusalem, verse 20, "As they passed by, they saw the fig tree." Now look at this. "Dried up from the roots." It hasn't been 24 hours. And that fig tree that was full of leaves was dried up from the roots. And the disciples recalled and called to mind what Jesus had said. And Peter speaks up and he says, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Now, folks, listen. What had taken place was not according to nature. It was not natural. In 24 hours, it was not common. In 24 hours, a tree flourishing with life, green leaves, the Bible says it was dried up from the roots. That is not a natural thing, but that was the power with which Jesus spoke. He said something, and it was done. You see, when he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever," he meant right now. Boom. That thing was dried up in 24 hours. That's not natural. It's not ordinary. He said something, it was done. Not just ordinarily, but miraculously, this thing was done. Now, you have to admit that this was quite a display of power and authority. But it comes to no surprise to us because we know who Jesus is. Amen? But, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Spirit of God lives in us. And according to 1 John 5, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, these three are one. That same power and authority lives in our body. Now, I didn't say you and I have that power in us, in our flesh. But we have that power in the person of the Spirit of God if you're born into God's family. That's amazing. So that means that the power of God in prayer for things miraculous, for things uncommon, for things unnatural, is within us. But when is the last time we have experienced something like that? And that's a shame. It probably is indicative of the prosperity of this country. But some folks in this church are facing situations now where you need a miracle. And all of us may be there in a few months. You say, you keep saying that, you make our children full of despair. No, no, they shouldn't despair. They have a God in heaven. Well, it sure doesn't hurt to help prepare our kids for something that the Bible says is coming. And we all want to believe it's going to happen, not just in our lifetime. Now, Jesus turns this verse, or turns this scene, with this fig tree, dried it from its roots. He turns this scene into something personal for His disciples. And beyond that, He turns it into something personal for us. Because it's recorded for us here in the Bible. It's like Jesus was saying to, Peter said, "Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered up by the roots. And it's like Jesus said, Peter, have faith in God. Matthew, have faith in God. John, have faith in God. Thomas, have faith in God. James, have faith in God. Bartholomew, have faith in God. It's recorded for us here. Hey, Brother Terry, have faith in God. Brother Jason, have faith in God. Tony, have faith in God. Scott, have faith in God. Young person, have faith in God. He turns it into a personal lesson for each one of us. What Jesus was saying was that the power on display involving this fig tree was available to them if they had faith in God. Then he says in verse 23, he continues, he says, for verily, truly, look at it. I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, do you understand here, friend, that they are, Bethany is situated on one of the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It's 2 miles from Jerusalem. So they are walking on a mountain slope from Bethany into Jerusalem. They're walking on it. And so he says in verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the mountain he's walking on, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that is not natural. To move a mountain into the sea is not natural. That is uncommon. But Jesus said, if for some legitimate reason you need something like this done, if you ask and you don't doubt and you believe, it will happen. Our minds want to reject that. Our carnal, fleshly nature wants to put up a. When's the last time you saw a tree dried up from the roots in less than 24 hours? That's what he just did. So moving a mountain into the sea is no greater than drying up a tree from its roots in 24 hours. Same thing. It's unnatural. It's miraculous. And Jesus is saying, when your needs border on miraculous, when your needs you feel like are just beyond miraculous, friend, you need to understand that you have a God in heaven. Look what he said in verse number 24. He went on and said, therefore, and that says, okay, look back to what he just said. He just had this conversation with his disciples about this fig tree and prayer. There he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So he gives them a lesson about prayer. Now let's put this all together. When you and I have a legitimate need, and we desire to see that need met, even if it is considered miraculous, have faith in God. And the power and authority that is in us, in the person of the Spirit of God, opens the door for the unnatural and the uncommon and the miraculous to take place. And when they all need to be able to do that, every one of us. And by the way, let me say, that won't be so bad. I don't think we need to feel sorry for ourselves and pity ourselves if this thing does collapse and we are forced to this passage of Scripture. To live it. Have faith in God. Have faith in the person of God. Have faith in the power of God, because with God's person comes His power. Now, what do you need that would be considered miraculous? What do you need that is on the border of miraculous? What do you need tonight? Do you need help with a Christian school payment? Do you need a different or dependable car? Do you need a job? Do you need a new or better washer and dryer, and there's no money with which to buy one right now? Do you need money even for extra groceries? Are there some things that you need and you're doing without and you don't know how you get them, how it'll get done? I'm not talking about luxuries. I'm talking about things that you need. You say, Pastor, you're talking about things. Well, look what Jesus said in verse 24. He said, what things? And in Matthew chapter 6, he talked about food and clothing and shelter as things. I don't think we're out of line, folks. I believe Jesus is encouraging His followers to have faith in God to provide things, even those things that seem miraculous to us to get. Have faith in a God who's interested in you having the things you need. Now let's break this down a little bit, verse number 24. Because the context of verse 24, it precedes it. It's a dried up fig tree and it's a moved mountain. That's pretty uncommon stuff, isn't it? But we have an uncommon God. And we may find that out. Now, the first word I see in verse number 24, the word I want to give you is the word target. Target. Jesus said, what things? You see that? You see, this is something definite. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. And He said, that fig tree right there, He said, this fig tree you dry up. He spoke and said, this mountain. There was a target, was that fig tree. There was a target, it was that mountain. This kind of miraculous answer to prayer is the result of having a target. If the four walls of the place where you and I pray could talk, I wonder tonight what kind of story they would tell. Is our prayer life full of rambling? In a half awake, half asleep, semi-consciousness? Now, I'm not pointing the finger at you, friend. I said a couple weeks ago that, man, I almost have to stand or do something besides get on my knees at certain times of the morning or evening because I will be asleep in a heartbeat. Now, I wonder if the four walls of our prayer closet, wherever that may be, it may be your automobile. It may be a place where you go for exercise and walk. It may be as you wash dishes behind the sink. I don't know where it is. But if the four walls of our prayer closets could talk, would those walls describe target praying? Where we come with specific requests. Specific requests. You see, friend, what Jesus is talking about here is not shopping. It's buying. There's a difference. You ladies love to shop. You don't intend to buy anything. You just go to shop. And you walk into the store, and you browse, and you look, and it's click, 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 click. I can hear it in my ears right now. It's a horrible sound. Amen. Just click, 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 click. And you browse through the blouses, and then you browse through the skirts, and then you browse through the dresses, and you go to the browse through the casual stuff, and then you browse through the dressy stuff, and then you browse through the sleepwear stuff, and then you browse through the home, and it's just browsing and browsing and whatever, and just through it, and then you leave, and you've had a wonderful time. That's shopping. Buying is when you pull into the parking lot, you get out of the car, you go into Farm and Fleet, you go right to the automobile section, you buy 5 quarts of oil and 1 filter, you go to the cashier, you pay for it, and you get out of the car and go home. That's buying. Amen? That'll work. That's buying. That's buying. I am. That's buying. Boy, I struck a chord with you men tonight, I can tell that. But I have to ask myself, is my prayer life shopping? Lord, bless this day and help me here and help them, help Jason and Lord, help them. And Lord, you know, we could use this. And Lord, yeah, help us this and help us have this. And just in Jesus' name, amen. And I say, Father, my car is dying. My car is dying. I don't have enough money for the medicine that my child needs. I need some more gas. What is it? What's our prayer life? Is it shopping or is it buying? Jesus said, what things? Let me ask you tonight, what is your target? Be specific about it. Again, do not feel badly if you need something that is temporal, something that is passing in nature. God is interested in us having even the temporal passing things that we need in this life. Father, I need some shoes. I need. My wife needs. We need. If I go out to practice shooting my bow, which I've started up here and taken up here in the last couple of weeks, getting ready for that wonderful day, the greatest day of the calendar year, October 1st. Amen. Well, besides June 16th. When I practice my bow, I don't walk out in the backyard, take my bow, put an arrow on the string, pull it back, anchor, and just fly. What are you doing? I'm practicing. No, I take a target. I have a block. I have a block that I bought with one of the gift cards that you folks gave me for a birthday or something one time over here at Cabela's. And I have a block. It's a nice target. I put it out there. And one side of that block has a bullseye. It has like a target. And it has a black bullseye about 3 inches, 2 or 3 inches in diameter. And I get 30 or 40 yards, 20, 30, 40 yards, depending on the pin. And I begin to shoot. And I'm aiming at that target. I'm trying to hit that target. Cherith goes out with me. She has the rangefinder to see how many yards away the shot is. And we're out there together. We enjoy that. She enjoys that with Ella. I enjoy it. The other side of the target has the outline of the silhouette of the deer, the animal, the leg, and his belly. And it has an outline of his heart and his lungs. And when I use that, I shoot to try to hit the heart and the lungs. I have something I'm aiming at. That's the kind of praying Jesus is talking about here. Target. Target, target. It's not just shopping. It's buying. It's going to God. What things? This is what I need. If it's not something, maybe it's not temporal or passing. God save my husband, or God save my wife, or God save my child, or God save my parent. But it's a target. God bless my Sunday school class, and not just Sunday school class, but bless Andy, and God bless John, and bless Danny, and bless Tim, and God bless Joey, and God bless the name, the target. And when you pray for your bus route, it's a target. And when you pray for your neighbor or your lost loved one, lost friend at work, it's a target. That's the kind of praying Jesus is talking about here. What things? What things? What target? What are you shooting at? Are you just flinging arrows? Just flinging arrows, or are you to have a target? Kids, you young people, listen, this is not just for adults. Want to go to camp? Yeah, Dad will get me the money. Why don't you ask God to do it? Take the heat off of Dad. Target. 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 Something I'm shooting at. Something I'm aiming at. That's the first thing I see in verse 24 in this lesson on prayer, power in prayer that Jesus is teaching. You got a dried up fig tree, and he's walking on a mountain. He says, yeah, boys. He said, look, if you want this mountain moved, and you pray, and you have faith, it's a legitimate need. You got the power of God in you, in the person, the Spirit of God. It will be moved. And when you pray, you got to have a target, fellas. You got to have a target. Now, the second thing I see, now I'll put it in this word right here. The first word is target. The second word is crave. Crave. Look at what he said in verse 24. What things soever ye desire. Desire is a strong craving. Did you ever develop a craving for something, a certain food? Ladies, you ever got a... No. Ladies, you have gotten a craving for chocolate. Amen. Yeah, related. My problem is I crave food. That's my problem. That's bad. But every now and again, I get a hanker for something. I have a craving right now for a Varsity chili dog. I really do. But I don't know how I'm going to get it because they're down in Atlanta or Athens, Georgia. But I have had that. I can taste it. I'm serious. I can taste that. They say, well, you can make a chili dog here. It's not the same. It's not. It's got a certain thing. You've been to places like that. They may serve a food that everybody else serves, but it has a particular taste. A craving, a strong desire. Some of you ladies, when you're expecting babies, you develop some strange cravings. At strange times. A desire for a piece of food or something to eat. You know what happens? Your target has to become your craving. Your target has to become your craving. Say, Pastor, I've tried this prayer stuff. I asked God one time for help with a tire for my car, and it blew, and I didn't get it. One time. Your target has to become your craving. And a craving will cause us to ask and keep on asking, and to ask and keep on asking, and to ask and keep on asking, and we can't get it out of our minds. We can't get it off our hearts. We can taste it. We can see the day when the answer will come. And so it's, God, I need a washer and a dryer, and I don't have the money for it, but I can hear the sound of it in my laundry room, and I can see them sitting there. And God, I please, I've got to have a washer. And tomorrow, God, I need a washer and a dryer. And I don't have the money for it, and I can see it in my laundry room. The target becomes your craving, and it causes you to ask it. Hey, Abraham craved the... Don't you think that Abraham didn't just want the deliverance of Lot from Sodom? Don't you think that he craved it? Because if he had just wanted it, when he asked God, Father, would you spare Sodom for 50 righteous? And God said, sure, I'll do that. He said, okay, thank you. Got my answer. But he craved it. And so he began to fear that there wouldn't be 50, so he asked God for 45, and God said, okay. And he said, well, wait, what if there's not 45? Maybe there's only 40. And God said, okay, I'll do it for 40. Well, Lord, I know you're a gracious judge, and you'll do right. How about 30? And it takes him all the way down to 10, because it's something that Abraham really wanted. And he wasn't going to settle for a passing little promise. I want to know. There was a craving there, a craving. It caused him to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Well, what you say, well, Brother Terry, how do I know what I am asking for is according to His will? Because I ask and ask and ask and nothing has happened, so I just feel like it must not be God's will. Well, let me ask you a question. Has God removed the desire? Say, no, the desire is still there, then I think it's still within His will. Text proof. Paul, 3 times, goes to God in earnest, fervent prayer. God, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? God, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? God, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? Until God said to him, Paul, what you need to understand is that thorn makes it possible for my grace and power to rest on you. You know what happened to Paul's craving? It changed. The thing he once wanted to get rid of, now he said, oh God, give me the thorn. Oh God, give me the thorn. Oh God, give me the thorn. His whole prayer changed. His whole heart changed because God made it clear for him, it's not my will to remove the thorn. Okay, God, he changed his desire, changed his want. And friend, if God hasn't changed your desire, if it's still the craving and desire of your heart to see your loved one saved, or to maybe get a different car, or to have enough money to pay for a Christian school bill, or to get some new shoes for one of the children, or some medicine, if it's still a craving, just keep on praying. Your target has to become your craving. Pray and keep on praying until God answers your request or changes your desire. I really have a desire to have my kids in the Christian school, God, but there's no money. Or there's partial money. Would you help me? Would you provide? And that stays there, and it stays there, and it stays there. You just pray, and you ask. The same thing about a car, the same thing about a job, the same thing about anything. The target with for which you're praying, I think the target has to become our craving. Remember, friend, you and I have power in prayer because we have the Spirit of God in us, and we are praying to a wonderful God. Target, crave, and number three is the word believe. Look at it in verse 24. What things? That's the target. Soever ye desire, that's the crave. When ye pray, believe. Oh, help me. How many times do I ask God and then immediately I am inundated with doubt? I feel like that poor man who said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. This is what Jesus had told them when He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Gentlemen, have faith in God. Not even so much in your prayer as in the God to whom you are praying. Have faith in Him. Do we believe in the person? And do we believe in the power of praying to the God of heaven? Do we believe in that? If our praying were to only a mortal man, then we could all be excused if we got overwhelmed with doubt and didn't have much faith in our prayer because it was directed to a mortal man. You know, as much as I love these men on the platform, there might be something and I have great confidence in them. There are probably requests that I could ask of them that I just say, you know, they can't do that. But not so with God. Not so with God. God is not a mortal man. He's saying here, have faith in praying to God. Have faith in God. It's not faith just in your praying. It is faith in the fact that you are praying to God. Faith in God's person. Faith in God's power. Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's provision. Real, believing, confident, assuring faith. Faith! Oh God, increase my faith. Don't you need that? I tell you, young'uns, you're going to need it. Increase my faith. Confidence that what I'm asking for is not for selfish consumption. And confident that what I'm asking for is not for selfish gain. Confident that my request is within the boundaries of the will of God. Confident enough to take it to God and leave it there expecting Him, God, to answer. Lord, this is for You. This is too big for me. I love that story. And I preached on Hezekiah this morning, and I've been reading about him. I love that story in the Old Testament where Rabshakeh, the king of Assyria, is coming, and Hezekiah is trying to get help from bordering nations to fight the king of Assyria. It's a mighty army, and the king of Assyria hears that Hezekiah is trying to enlist some other people to help him, and so Rabshakeh sends him a letter, and basically he says, "Come on, man. What are you doing? Haven't you heard about all the other countries that we've overwhelmed? Haven't you heard about all the people, the kingdoms that I've taken? You're going to get those guys to help you? You're fooling yourself. We're going to come knock your block off." And the Bible says that when Hezekiah, when he read that letter, I love this. When he read that letter, he took that letter and he spread it out on the temple floor. He put it there on the floor before God. And he gave it to God. He said, God, this is what this man said. This man said there's no hope. This man said there's no way out of this. This man said he's coming. He said the gods of all the other kingdoms and countries haven't helped them. And he said that you wouldn't help us. And he left it there. He left it with God. You know what that's doing? That's pray, God, this is the target, this is my craving, and this is my belief. I'm leaving it with You. You've got to do this for us. God sent a prophet to tell him, you go tell Hezekiah that don't be worried. I'll take care of that character. And God did take care of him. It's angel paraphrase, but it's close. Amen. It's really close. Like what he said, God save us out of his hand. Take your situation and spread it out before the Lord. Take the Christian school tuition statement and spread it out before the Lord. And take a picture of your worn out tire in your, print it off on your computer printer and lay it out before the Lord. And take a picture of your broken down washer and dryer and lay it out before the Lord. Take a picture of a cupboard that's only half full someday and lay it out before the Lord. Take a picture of your lost relative and lay it out before the Lord. God, I gotta have your help. We're so confident. We're so self-assured. Our little pension plans and retirement investments, and we got all this, and I'm okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm telling you, friend, I'm trying to preach tonight to help everybody in this building have faith in God. Help me, Lord. Help me, God, myself. I'm talking to me. Take your situation. Spread it out before the Lord. Have faith in God. Confidence and belief. Are you short some money for your bills? And what do you need? Target craving and believe. You know, I'm walking a tight rope here. I'm walking real close to the border with these next few comments. So I hope that you'll have patience with me and don't misunderstand what I'm not saying for people to be foolish financially. But friend, I wonder if we haven't become too balanced budget sheet conscious. Too many pluses and minuses, and the numbers don't compute. Let me ask you a question. When George Mueller gathered up 700 children and had no money, how do you think that flew with the financial accountants in his day? You're doing what? Starting an orphanage. How are you going to care for them? I don't know. How are you going to feed them? I don't know. But there's starving children on the streets, don't have homes, don't have moms and dads. And I believe that, no doubt, there's a God in heaven that wants those little children to have something to eat. I bet financial accountants scratched their heads and went down to the coffee shop and said, man, you met that guy named Mueller? He's a nut. Come on now. He's a nut. He's a nutcase. He's an idiot. Got all them kids over there. He got no support from anybody for anything. Just a handful of dollars coming in. But George Mueller had those 700 children and a legitimate need to put food in their bodies. And he took it to God, spread it out before the Lord of heaven. He had a target. He had a craving. He had a belief in God. And God sent him potatoes. And God sent him milk. And God fed those kids. They said George Mueller prayed in millions of dollars to care for those children. No, I'm $50 short on my budget to put the kids in the Christian school, so I can't do that. And by the way, when we talk of George Mueller today, we talk of his what? His great what? Faith! If you and I had been living in his day, we probably would have been calling him a fool. Think about that. I am for pluses and minuses and balancing out. I am for all that. I am for fiscal responsibility. I am for all of that financial accountability. But I also know that we have a wonderful, powerful God in heaven. And if you are $30 or $50 short for something, friend, I don't think it's unreasonable for you to have faith that God will send that to you. Some of you remember the story. There was a church on the West Coast that needed to build a building. And they bought property on a mountaintop. The mountain was rock. It wasn't an ideal place to build, but it was a beautiful location. It overlooked a great city on the West Coast. And the church bought the property at a pretty reasonable price. When they got ready to build the building, they knew that the first thing that had to be done was they had to level the top of that mountain. The top of that mountain had to be moved. And the pastor and the men met and said, what are we going to do? And all they could come up with is, we're going to have to pray. I don't know how we're going to do this. And they began to pray. Somewhere in the United States of America, a company that built large earth-moving machines built this enormous, enormous earth-moving machine, the largest one of its kind built in the United States. It was humongous. And upon its completion, they sent it to the West Coast to a contractor and told the contractor to test it out on a project, and they wouldn't charge him for the use of the machine. While that pastor and those people were praying, God, how are we going to level this mountain? They decided to call a contractor. Guess which contractor they called? He said, I have the machine. He came, and in 2 months' time, the mountaintop was moved. It was leveled. And he said, since the company didn't charge me for the use of the machine, I won't charge you a dime. He sent the machine back to the company that built it. They decided that it was too big and too costly and there wouldn't be enough demand for it, and they disassembled it. In the sovereign providence of the God who sits on the throne of the universe, that machine was built to move one mountain. We have put God, because we're $30 short, we put God in the box and say we can't do it. I'm preaching this tonight for myself. I'm preaching it tonight for some men in this church who need God to answer their prayer. And I'm preaching it for the young people of this church because I want you, no matter what you may face, if Jesus stays in heaven, I want you to have faith in God. Have faith in God. You young couples, have faith in God. There's power in prayer. I just get so weary of living in a brownout and a blackout situation. I'll say this and we're done. If we do, it's not God's fault. The problem is not with God. It's somewhere with us. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, this message to our hearts tonight. And may it find good ground in which to fall. May it help people. Lord, not just through some pep rally, but God, through an eternal principle. That there's power in prayer. Oh, God, help us. In